Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week,
I just want to know how much damage someone can feasibly do with a game. You can get everything on Steam nowadays. I want to see if someone can upload just malware onto Steam.
Welcome back to Pitch Please. My name's Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
And Thomas, the Think Tank Engine.
Thanks. I was about to take the piss out of your intro of a welcome, but then you threw me off. You threw me off. You got me.
There's no coming back.
That's my
from
plan.
That.
There's no coming back. Who's who's that?
Oh, hang on a second. What's going on?
Did you hear that?
We've heard a voice. There are actually two voices this time. We have two guests. I don't know if we've done that before. If we have, I'm sorry to the people that I've forgotten. But we have Ben and Peter from Triple Jump.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Hi.
Hello. Which voice is which?
Well, exactly. A good look to anyone. I mean, we obviously think that we sound completely different, but we've had this before where we've gone on like someone else's channel and they're like, oh, it was nice when he had that guy on from Triple Jump. And it's just...
the Triple Jump.
Agree. I'll have to agree
good
with
one,
Ben.
Yeah. Oh, damn, Tom.
Okay. So, Ben, hello.
Hello.
That's Ben speaking.
That's me.
And Peter.
Mm. Yeah.
Hello, Peter.
Hello.
That's Peter speaking.
Yeah.
Could you please tell person. Us... who you guys are? What do you do?
We've been working together for like 5 or 6 years now, haven't we, Ben? We met at What Culture, which is like a kind of a BuzzFeed, like listicle YouTube.
I wrote an article
channel
for What Culture.
Oh, did you?
I'm so sorry.
Before I started working for you.
Wait,
what was it?
It was a review on a Sonic game.
Oh,
I can't remember what the game was, yeah.
Just the one article.
It was the first and only thing I've ever written for a review. Okay, so you guys met there, and then what?
Then we find ourselves at the Yogscast. We spent a year on Vidiots, or Vidiots Official was the full name, with Michael Johnson, who's still with Fourth Floor. So, you know, it's like that comedy connection show, isn't it, that used to be on like years ago. But now we're doing something else, aren't we, Ben?
Yes, we are. We started Triple Jump up at the beginning of 2019, and it's a video game channel that covers, we do lists, we do a show called Worst Games Ever, where we play some of the worst games ever made and learn a bit about them as we go. We have a habit of ranking things from worst to best as well. We've done all of the consoles and all the handheld systems as well. Just some ridiculous videos. And then all the other stuff that you would normally expect from a video game channel, like streams and other bits and pieces here and there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've been doing that for the past couple of years.
What about game pitches? Do you do game pitches?
Well,
no.
We don't yet. Well, we actually thought about... Well, we'd been talking...
We might now.
About a year ago, we were like, oh, we could do a thing where we just come up with, like, silly game pitches. We have to, like, draw the box art and stuff, maybe something
that'd
like that.
That'd be hilarious.
Stealing our idea, Tom.
I'm giving away a good idea here, but... and then we were like, oh, if we go on Pitch Please now, like... If we then start doing a pitch related show, that's just going to look like we
it's dead now.
Yeah, it's on record now.
Yeah, no, we would come down on you hard if you did that.
You would.
You wouldn't be the first to come down on us legally.
Okay, if you're listening to this and you haven't heard us before, the way this whole thing works is we invite guests, or in this case, guests on, to pitch an idea for a game. And they will give us a little pitch, an elevator pitch, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about it, all trying to throw in our own ideas into the pot, figuring out how we're going to make a game that we would all want to play. And we'll see if we get there. It doesn't always end like that. We don't always all want to play it. But at the end, we do all at least usually lie about that fact. So we can end on a high note.
Yeah, we have to end on a high note. Wow, this game sounds amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely remember this one.
So because there are two of you, that means the pitch should be twice as good, right?
Yes, maybe. Mathematically, yeah. That does make sense.
Or are you going to be taking it in turns?
Well, a word each.
Maybe. I must admit, we've not rehearsed. But then I suppose you don't for an elevator pitch. You step into the lift and then you have to...
We've got a slightly diverging sort of idea of how this game should work as well. So the basic gist is the same, but there is a variant on it.
All right. Like it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We're in the elevator right now.
Surprise. It's us.
Peter, do you want to tell them? Go on. Tell them.
Sure. Well, the broad kind of setting or like objective or theme or whatever is that you are investigating the alien conspiracy, you know, the kind of stereotypical government cover up, Area 51 sort of thing. That was kind of the initial thing that I kind of put out there, and then Ben was straight in with you really like the way that Hideo Kojima like various other game series play with breaking the fourth wall and using like the hardware as kind of a... So for example, when you fight Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid, there's the whole thing where you read your memory card and things like that. And then you can... Was it... I want to say Deadly Premonition, but it's not that. Eternal Darkness? Is that the game where there's the madness mechanics and it like turns your TV volume down?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. So... Ben was like, oh, we should definitely like try and include something like that. So then we came up with this idea that you're investigating this alien conspiracy and then someone is onto you and you start receiving messages via Steam saying like, hey, back off. What are you doing? And we think, you could take it further depending on, I mean, like Ben had an idea with, like your disk tray opening on your computer, if you've actually still got one, which I know not many people do anymore. You could do fake blue screens, like in Batman Arkham Asylum, you had that.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a lackluster, haunting moment if the game says, oh, look at your computer, and you don't have a disk drive.
Yeah.
And it's like,
your USB ejects.
Yeah. It's been safely removed. Ooh, they're onto me.
And you could even do things where it's like, again, it would probably depend on like, it would look really naff if it didn't match your OS or whatever, but you could have it so that it looks like it's deleting files from your computer and stuff. Like it brings up windows that look like they are, at home on your computer. Ben, I don't know if you want to talk about where our ideas differ though.
Yeah. So very much my thoughts around this were sort of in terms of grounding it in the realities of game development, and you can absolutely correct me if I'm talking nonsense here, but I thought to make it more of an achievable project to make it a shorter sort of 20-30 minute viral YouTube stream reactionary game, kind of like Slender. So it's sort of a very short title that people can experience in one sitting. And my thoughts were, again, just like Slender, you're dumped in these woods. It's completely pitch dark. You've got a torch. You've got a dog. Mm. And the dog runs away at the start as this sort of UFO, you know, all these lights pass overhead and it appears that a UFO is crashing in the distance.
So the dog runs off.
You're like, oh, bugger, I've got to go find my dog. And as you then make your way through these woods in the dark, you get these increasingly more threatening messages through the Steam Messenger service, just like, back off, go away. You don't know what you're about to find here. Until
no, I don't have your dog.
No, I don't. The dog's not here. You find maybe the dog's collar at some point. You're like, oh God, what's happening? And then Oofy. It sort of culminates in this horrific jump scare where this garbled alien face takes up the whole screen. There's loads of static effects, and then maybe the game crashes or it uninstalls itself, and then that's just the end. It's just this small piece of viral content that people
can refunds itself.
Yeah, that people can react to on YouTube. Like, just a short thing.
Yours seems like interactable malware, and then Peter's seems like we're going to fake your desktop and really shoot you up. Delete system 32.
So these are definitely two diverging ideas. Devs, what are your thoughts? I feel like James, you've got something you want to say.
The main
on this.
Thought is, can you pet the dog?
Or only if you get it, though. You've got to go through the woods to find it.
You've
got
to be able to get it back. So there is a win condition. Yeah. So you can save the dog. The first thought for me is obviously sending messages through the Steam Messenger service. I don't even know if that's possible. Probably isn't.
Well, you just fake it, though.
So you could fake. So you'd fake it. So
that was my I was kind of seeing
that might be nicer to do it that way is that the Steam's UI doesn't usually change all that much. Whereas if you try and replicate something like the Windows desktop, it's not going to match what you've got, and it might feel a bit wrong. Whereas what you could do is be like, I'm trying to use the dark web, or you're using like obviously a fake desktop, and that is the game, is like you're interacting with.
I think when you launch the game, the first thing that comes up is, please add shitbutt69 on Steam. He'll auto accept you. He's just going to send you messages occasionally. So yeah, it's a forced bot account that you have to add, shitbutt69. Great, and he'll send you a message every now and then. I don't have your dog. I haven't seen or heard
a
dog.
Not the government. Not the FBI.
And then, I guess, you can have bot accounts on Steam, right? That is able to track your progress and also send you...
Did Doki Doki Literature Club do something similar? I haven't actually played it, but I think it had elements where there were all sorts of very strange fourth wall breaks. But I don't know if it involved messages or not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was very much within the application, it did actually overwrite files and dump extra files into...
Had to do like file management to proceed or something.
That's right, yeah.
What?
So that sort of stuff is possible.
Okay.
On how much of a scale? Files and stuff.
Yeah, but like, can you have it, say, open your disk drive, for example, or delete files from something else?
You could, but you'd have to you'd have to run it as like administrator. You'd have to give it the permissions to do so. It wouldn't just be able to do it. But like, you could easily get it to delete files. So you go, it'll be like, oh, you know, you can find hidden files in your recycle bin that weren't there before. And you'd be like, oh, well, here's like a hidden note that says like, don't go to, you know, this website. And then you go on your fake browser, you go to, you know, Google Maps, and you're like, oh, and don't type in these coordinates. And then you go there and it's like area 57, and you're like, oh, I'm onto them.
So that's six worse than the other one.
Some games run it through like an email client. So you might get sent an email, but you know, you want to have it feel more instant, don't you? You want it to kind of be like a chat sending you messages inside the UI as opposed to like
having to tab out and stuff.
Now, this is going to sound awfully convenient, but Chris, I feel like, and I'm not sure if I've spoken about this on the podcast, but I feel like I've discussed this game idea with you before, a horror game where the game purposefully reduces your frame rate. And you instantly said to me, that sounds like the worst thing that's ever happened. Why would anyone play that?
I mean, I say that to you about a lot of things. So this, this isn't really recalling anything.
But, I mean, a game can have control over the settings of itself, right? So maybe there are some moments where it just turns the graphics down to zero and you're like, oh, great, now I'm playing an ugly game. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I like the fact that graphics is zero. What does that mean?
Nothing.
It's just a black screen.
It's just a black screen.
And that the government would be like, oh, I'm going to turn this guy's graphics down to
that'll show him.
He's never going to want to touch his computer again.
Maybe it's an NVIDIA game. We partner with them and they've got control of the NVIDIA like game thing that can change all the settings of your other games. You close down this horror game, you open up another one, you're like, no, not this
one
too.
Change the resolution. Bastards.
Let's just install a remote desktop client and have some person at the other end just completely take over your computer. Job done, right?
Yeah. Well, this was something we were talking about. There was with the Untitled Goose game, did you guys see the untitledgoose.exe or something that you could install? And it would be like a desktop goose that would walk across your desktop and leave footprints and drag, like try and chase the cursor and run off with it and stuff.
My God, I've
drag windows and stuff in front of
drag memes onto the screen and stuff. Yeah. I don't know if that would require an extra bit of software, but there's previous for stuff like that.
So it is possible.
You could definitely do it with like pop-ups and like things that are, I mean, because technically what you can do is just have the game run invisibly. So you just make, you're still showing the person's desktop, but you've got basically a transparent game window in front of it. So you could make it look like their thing, and then the pop-ups and stuff could come on with that. So you're not really interacting with their desktop as such. It's more, there's an overlay over the top of it where you can start messing around with things and introducing things, whether that's, you know, start, you know, blurring certain things, messages pop up into the corners. You can like, display their, you know, if they've got a webcam, to try and turn the webcam on and display their view, your view, the webcam view in the corner or something, so it looks like someone's watching you. Exactly, things like that. Play sounds, like if you've got, you know, headphones on, you can play quiet sounds. You're like, what is that noise?
I just want to know how much damage someone could feasibly do with a game. You can get everything on Steam nowadays. I want to see if someone can upload just malware onto Steam and just really destroy your PC.
Okay.
They probably could. Steam are
the
quite
way I'm thinking about
relaxed.
This, so for like, from Peter, from your initial idea, that it made me think quite a bit of a game called Welcome to the Game. Have you heard of this?
No, I've not.
I've not played it. I've only had it described to me before. But you're in your apartment, basically, and you're investigating some kind of like weird website that kidnaps people, and I don't know, there's some kind of conspiracy around it basically, but like it's you in your apartment on the dark web having to interact with these different people and websites and stuff, and at the same time you're like ordering things from online and receiving packages actually at your door. You have to get up from your computer and walk around, and there are certain basically the deeper you go into this conspiracy, into this like mystery, the more you make yourself visible to these weird, nasty types on the dark web, and the more likely you are to get caught in real life. People are to actually come to your apartment. So the idea of like being like involved, like delving into some kind of conspiracy, but like it mostly taking place in front of on a computer screen, is kind of cool, and there is precedent for that kind of thing. But is that how you imagined, Peter, on your side of things? Is that what you thought, how you imagined the game? It would mostly just take place kind of in a browser?
Yeah, for me, it's like, so I think the main difference between my idea and Ben's is that it's almost like with Ben's, you download a game from Steam and you're playing this game, and then things start happening to you in game. Whereas I almost imagined that even the way you market this thing or like packaged it on the Steam, you know, store.
Yeah.
It's as though you're downloading dark web software or whatever. Like you download this app that allows you to like get onto the dark web. So as you're sitting there in real life at your desk, what you see on your monitor isn't an in-game character at their computer. Like you just see, you know, like a browser window or a messaging system or something. So like you as a real human being, you are the actual protagonist of the game, as opposed to a guy walking his dog. I guess part of the issue maybe is that like we've got ideas of like ways you could do some of these things, but maybe not how you could do lots of them together. So like, for example, you could have like a transparent app with like, you know, pop-ups and things coming up over the top of your desktop or something. But could you also do that and like, you know, have it be able to open your disk tray and also be able to, you know, it's like how you combine all the different
options. I love that you really want the disk tray feature.
I mean, we like the idea of a real physical effect. Yeah, like something, if there's anything else you can do, that's what we struggled with. Like having something that happens in the room with you is like an extra level of jump scare rather than just something on the monitor. You know, like if suddenly something pops open by your legs, that's
What are the limits? Could you connect your home, your smart home devices to your PC? Like the minimum requirements for this game would be a mess. Like minimum requirements, all the graphics card and all that. You need a disk drive for some reason. It's a digital copy. You need smart home devices. That'll help. But yeah, maybe it starts turning on your lights. Maybe it does some other stuff. Maybe it adjusts your heating to super cold. That's when the ghost is around.
Well, two things I was going to say. It reminds me a lot of games like Hypnospace Outlaw, where you are.
Yeah, of course.
In that game, obviously it's like a 90s internet and you play as you, but your character has a job as a like an enforcer. And like games like Her Story, where you're standing in front, you're just looking through files or looking through things.
Telling lies as well.
And then the other thing I did was I quickly found the code for how you actually open a CD tray in C Sharp. Really? Okay. So that is doable. You can do it. Obviously, they need to have
this game
a CD
is
drive.
Made already.
And reading and writing files on the fly is how you make like save files. So like that's one like the basic thing. You can do that. You could like fill a notepad full of garbled text and maybe they have to decipher it. And you can give them things like that. So that kind of stuff is easy. Again, if they have a disk drive, you definitely can't do it. But
disk drive locked in.
I think what I originally thought when both the ideas came out was what you said, Alex, about the game you're talking about is maybe at the end of Peter's game, it zooms out. So you think that's the game and then it zooms out and then becomes Ben. There's a knock at the door, right? And they maybe that's the next stage of it where you hear noises. You slowly hear these noises over time and you think it's just part of like the computer, but it's actually, you're still in a simulated world. Maybe something like that if you wanted the best of both worlds.
I don't think it should zoom out. I think you should just open the webcam app and it's some guy with his dog, recently runaway dog, is what's looking back at you. So it still takes place within this browser or within this OS. But when you look at the webcam, you see the dog just run away. And then you have to figure out the rest of the story from there. I don't know.
My dog's run away. I'm going to stay at my computer.
Sit at my computer to send emails out. Missing dog. Missing please dog. Bring him home.
I mean, I'm feeling more that it is, like Tom's saying, you're locked to the browser window or the screen window. I played a game recently called There Is No Game, where you, as the protagonist, want to just interact with this game, but the game doesn't want to play a game. So it fights back with you. And I really like that you're clearly the character as opposed to you're controlling an analog within the game world. So zooming out, seeing a player walking around after their dog. I feel like there's an opportunity to be more creepy with that because you feel like you are being spied upon as opposed to whatever's in the game world, they're the one in danger rather than me. And I think if you give it enough time, you can trick a player into like, okay, lulling them into a false sense of security. They're playing this game. It's clearly a game. But then it goes on long enough that you're like, okay, I'm interacting with it. I think I just heard a noise. What was that? Was that in the game or was that outside? And the screen just flickered a little bit. The frame rate dropped. What was that all about? Like little things that you could do to sort of trick the player into thinking.
Gaslight the player.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there is something there for sure. What the grander game is, I think, the whole alien investigation Area 51 thing, I think there's something there for sure. But it could be anything.
Yeah, it could.
I'm just expanding on James's idea. What you could do is, obviously they have to agree to it at the start, but you can essentially, every time they boot up their PC, have it auto run, right? And then it constantly runs. And over time, it's like, okay, it's been 2 days since you last got a ping, and it will just like, doo-doo, and you're like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and because then you're not in control, and that's the scary part, right? Is when you click on something and then you press like, okay, send email, and you get an instant response. You're like, okay, well, I'm clearly just playing along with these scripted routines.
Right.
But it's when the sense of randomization comes into it, where, okay, you know, you do this thing, and then the game goes, okay, I'm going to choose a date between the next 3 to 7 days. So within that time frame, I'm going to ping you the response to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You sort of forget about it. So you get lulled into just a relaxed state, and then just like, boop,
and so like, the game, fuck, ignore this is just Steam. Something that's constantly running.
Yeah, if you ignore Steam, and it's just you buy it like off of itch or whatever, and it can just be running all the time. It loads at startup, like Chris said, and it doesn't. You don't need to touch Steam. You could be on a Zoom call or whatever, and then the game just pops up a window.
There are games that do that already, right?
Like, constantly keeps you on
Tom,
edge.
You and I use what's it called, the desktop wallpaper app on Steam. You buy,
yeah,
and
that
just runs. You don't need Steam.
I mean, that is on Steam, and it just runs all the time. It's just a software. Yeah. So this is a software essentially that we're installing, but it's a game.
Yeah,
it's like a software.
And it's the constantly being on edge, and then when you forget about it because it's been a while, just hearing that noise that then triggers that reaction of fuck.
Yeah,
and like as long as it's like the same, if it's just a message noise and you're like, ba-ding. And like it, if you could be at work in the middle of a call, and all of a sudden just
I love that sound effect like, you've created.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You can sample that for the final game.
So
things like that, where, and then the screen flickering. If you do that,
that can just happen whenever.
Yeah,
like if this is your work PC for some reason that you've installed this game on.
Yeah.
And it just starts, like maybe an alien's face shows up on the screen for one frame, and you're just like, what the fuck?
If you want to dilute it, you could set like a do not disturb time or something. You'd be like, I'm kind of working, so like 9 to 5, don't freak me out, please.
No.
I've got lunch between 12 and 1, so it's okay then.
3 a.m., your PC just turns on.
I think that passively interrupting someone, but then they have to, if they then have to solve a mystery through that. So they slowly gather clues. And like, you can set this. I mean, if you look at like, we talked about Stanley Parable before this, but if you look at the Stanley Parable, that has an achievement which you get by not playing the game for 5 years. Like, you could really drag this out. You could make this like a year long adventure.
And people would maybe be like talking about it on Reddit and like sharing clues.
That's
and
true.
Stuff.
Yeah, because you could have like waves being every like month or so, or now and then, like something new would happen, and then people would be talking about it again.
Mm.
Yeah, and like it could be cryptic messages, and everyone's like, okay, we need to maybe we work as a community to solve this.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, there's some guys just doing it themselves. And I think that is really exciting because of how unnerving it could be.
Yeah.
If you really want to, because the biggest sort of fear of that is not knowing what's going to happen and when. Mm. And that's like, if you take that control away from people, that's where you start to creep people out a little bit. If that's the idea of the game, if we're not going for like, let's really, you know, fuck with some people, then that's fine. If you are.
I think that was our goal.
I want this game to have no do not disturb option. I want it to be running on your PC 24/7. I was thinking, when you buy the game, you also have to install an app, so it's on your phone too.
Mm.
I want this to be on the very edge of just being a virus, but just fun enough for you to be like, no, trust me, it's worth it. Have you ever seen Cicada 3301?
That rings a bell, but I also have no idea what it is.
There's a YouTube video about it, but it was like 9 years ago. It was series of puzzles that were just released. I think they're on like 4chan or something.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey gamers, it's me, Cicada 3301. They didn't say that, but they had these really, really difficult puzzles that it would just release. And if you solve the first one, it will take you to a website. If you go to the website, it gives you like this other cryptic thing. And I think none of them ever got solved.
A hacking group, I think.
Yeah, I think someone got contacted. And just really intense, difficult puzzles that I don't know if ever got completed or anything, and they haven't come back since. But that sort of alternate reality, or did they? They got me. alternate reality sort of ARG, is that what it's called? Yeah.
ARG.
Where maybe that's the types of puzzles that you're solving. Maybe it does last just a really long time as this software in a PC. Maybe it's a big online experience. It's basically getting to the center of the cube, Peter Molyneux style, but it's hard puzzles
without
a virus.
Without disappointment.
Right, well, yeah. It will be disappointing because we haven't got a thing at the end.
We should get him back to write it.
We always do this.
We always end all roads lead to Molyneux.
But yeah, I thought that would be if that was just a lead into invitation to some hacker group or Giga Mensa or whatever the hell it was, then yeah, the Mensa above Mensa.
Sure.
Then maybe that could be an approach, or it is just some way to break into area, what was it, 57, you said?
Yeah, 57, yeah, for copyright reasons.
And steal all their info, find out about all those aliens, but the aliens are trying to stop you.
It could also be just big mystery, like corporate mystery you're trying to solve. You're trying to crack something you get the seed of an idea at the start, and it's completely fictional, obviously. It could be aliens, it could be, you know, it goes all the way to the top government kind of conspiracy. You could make it whatever you want, but I think the idea of revealing pieces over time where people don't know when the next bit of information is going to come, like you could set it over years, but then it also gives you time to do some really interesting things. It could be, here's a real world coordinate and there's like a geocache. It could be, you know, just anything you could think of that's, but then as a community, someone who lives near that coordinate can go get it. And then hopefully that community member posts it online and you'll all figure out the next clue.
I really love the idea of like an MMO ARPG. Like, well, not an MMO, but like a massive, something massively multiplayer that is available on
ARPG
Steam.
ARPG is the wrong.
No, not RPG, ARG.
an IRL MMO.
Because like, I mean, ARGs used to be, and like I was involved in a couple of them like years ago. ARGs were like when they first started becoming
the
a thing.
The Sonic Collection.
The Sonic Collection ARG.
Oh my god!
I did that. No, there was.
And it started on what culture?
There were a couple of them. There was one called like Project Syzygy or something. This was like early 2000s, and then at some point,
Syzygy.
They took them. Like the idea of ARGs, and they like it became like a viral marketing vessel. And that excitement of like, oh, is this real or is it not? Like, what's going on? There's this big puzzle we all have to solve together. That disappeared, and then it just got turned into, you know, using it to sell products. Like the big one was I Love Bees, was it? The Halo one? Halo 2? Remember that?
Yeah, Halo 2.
I Love Bees.
You know, people were having to go to phone boxes and stuff to receive certain call, like messages around the world. And like, but something that you download on Steam that then has these interactions with like you getting Steam messages as part of the game, but then also like it extending out into the real world even further than that sounds pretty exciting to me. I don't know, James, what were you going to say?
I'm going to completely disagree with you and say I don't think it should involve any other people. I think the whole point of it is that you're supposed to be like you're breaking into it and you've been discovered, right? You're not part of a team, you're not part of a crew or anything trying to solve. You're supposed to feel creepy because you're alone and you're in danger, right?
Right.
That's my viewpoint anyway. So I think it should be this very insular, isolated experience. And there's a team after you.
They can't kill you all.
Right. Exactly.
It's easy. The government can easily whack one person. That's why, yeah, I agree.
Otherwise, we've got to get everyone dogs. And that's too much. There's not enough dogs for everyone. So we can't do that.
Yeah, it would be weird, actually. Like, oh, I just got a message through. It's a picture of my dog's collar. Well, me too.
The same dog. Actually, same I've got dog. A cat. So how did... That doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't work.
I know we've drifted away from your idea,
like
Ben.
Ben and Peter, how are you feeling about this at the moment? We've kind of diverged again. Is there any of the stuff that we've been waffling on about is of interest to you? Would you use this in your game?
We can still open disk drives.
Well, that's the important thing. That it's just like the golden snitch kind of effect. But
Well, disk drive confirmed.
I did think at first when we were sort of saying, oh, you know, community, like a, you know, a Reddit, like a subreddit could be set up for it and people could talk about clues and share things and stuff. That sounded exciting. But equally, I do think, like, in hindsight, it does take away some of the threat to it. It's like horror movies where it's one person lost in the woods, or like two or three people lost in the woods, compared to, I remember watching Saw 2 for the first time. And I was like, this isn't scary. There's like six of them in there. I'd be fine with this. Like, obviously I wouldn't, because you're going to get your hand chopped off or whatever. But it just felt less threatening because there's like a whole team of you. And you're like, what can this guy do to us? And it, I guess it's the same kind of thing. Like, it sounds way more creepy to be at work or whatever, and you just get a ping through. And it is that whole thing of like, again, to use like a horror movie analogy, if you're watching a scary movie, yeah, like a jump scare is going to scare you, but at least you kind of know when it's coming because the like the violin music is building or whatever. But if you're just like sending an email for work or something, and then suddenly out of nowhere you get, you know, well, we're going to need the sound effect, I think.
Sorry.
But there it is. Then that's going to take you by surprise. You never, you know, unless you're going to constantly have in the back of your mind, by the way, that thing's running. I've got to remember that the software's running at all times. I mean, that's not going to happen. You're going to forget, and then you're going to get this alert, and it's going to make you jump every time.
I think yeah, the main thing with this is that it's not scary, it's unnerving. Like, Alien Isolation has some really tense moments, but it's constantly in the back of your mind that somewhere on the ship, there's an alien hunting after you, so I need to be quiet. And you don't have time to forget about it and relax and sort of do other things. Well, in this, it's you do have that time and you do forget about it and you do go on regular, like you carry on with your life, and then just, you know, and it's that, and you're like instantly like, oh God. And it just instantly brings, just, it's like when you recognize like a smell or something and you instantly get like a memory of something that made you remember that. It's like that. And you instantly get taken straight back to that moment and where that emotion of being unnerved and like being watched is straight back. You could be outside, which makes it even worse because you're not in a safe place. And I feel like that could be really interesting. Maybe a bit, we might get like sued by someone for like psychologically really fucking with someone. But I mean,
especially if the webcam's involved and it's like,
what are we trying to evoke from the players? Because it seems like it's anxiety. Just terrorizing them in their daily lives. Yeah.
But they've signed up to it. They've bought the
I've never
software,
known a game right? to like fully. Yeah, you've signed the terms and conditions. You know what you're doing.
Right. I'm into that. They haven't Don't get me
it,
wrong.
But they've accepted it.
If I was the devil's advocate, like when people play horror games, they sit down and say, right, for the next hour, 2 hours, this is my spook time. I'm okay to be scared during this time. But if they buy a software that is installed constantly and at any point could just jump out and say, and terrify you or whatever, like that, no one's going to buy this.
What happened to the whole, I don't want like, any do not disturb settings in this game. I want it running 100% of the time.
Now, if I was the devil, I want it. I want that.
Then I'm there just, must be other, there will be other people out there that want it as well.
The response to that is that we don't actually know. We've been talking about what the kind of the base skeleton of the game might be at this point, but we don't actually know what the game is going to be, right? The story of it. Like, what are these messages that you're getting? Like, how is it? Is it like, Ben or Peter, have you thought of anything like in terms of like a you've got the kind of setup, right? Is there like a story that you would want for it? Like, or what is the basic setup for it?
Well, that's why I've got the dog.
I see.
That is your reason for going there. Mine was very much a one and done, in and out experience. It fucks with your brain while you're doing it, and then it scares the shit out of you, and then it's over.
You did say 30-minute game, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for a game that slowly psychologically tortures you over the course of a year. But realistically, I don't know how many people are going to leave that open, especially if it takes a while to get to the really, really good stuff. You know, if it's month three, we show you your credit card statement, then I don't know if people are going to be around for that long. They might do 1 week and go, well, it made some... Sorry, can you do the noise again for me?
Oh.
It made some of those, and it was, oh yeah, this is still installed, but it didn't do anything all week, and I do need to shut my PC down sometimes because my energy bill is just...
Yeah. Well, here's a point.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is once you install it, it runs in your task manager as some really disguised name. It's like File Explorer or something like that. So even if you want to close it, you can't find it. So the game is obviously called Area 57, The Break-In, or whatever the fuck, I don't know. But it runs as something completely different, so there's no way of spotting it. You can't shut it down if you wanted to.
To be clear, you don't have to have your PC running the whole time, because you can just log out. You can save out where the time that they shut the PC down and check how much time has passed in between that. Right. It's not like you have to be like, oh, you've turned it off, so you're 7 days behind, like that. You can just check. Like the people who are getting the 5 years later on Stanley Parable haven't left their PCs on for 5 years.
If someone does want to close it, can we have it so that it has a pop-up that just says no? And then and you press OK, and you have to choose to quit twice before it lets you quit, but that will stick with you. Like, oh, what the fuck was that? That was weird.
So okay, you're getting these pop-ups and these messages and things. What do these contain? Are they like... is it just someone from the government just trying to threaten you? Is that the idea? Or is it information that you then have to use? Like, do you have a contact who's being like, oh, I found some information. If you log on to this website, if you go here on the dark web or whatever and do this, then this will progress you to the next section or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Well, the issue is that we've gone from a game where either you're a guy who's like witnessed a UFO landing while he was walking his dog, or there's a browser in the game where you're on like a dark web, you know, web page. But, you know, there was like a component, there was a gameplay component even to my idea, where, I don't know, it's not really fleshed out, but you were looking through like you've somehow got into like the back end of like a kind of security agency or something, okay, and you're looking at classified files, and then it's saying like, I can see what you're doing, you know, like keep your nose out kind of thing.
Right.
If you continue to do this, you'll be in trouble. But if we've now like moved away from this so that you're just sitting at work doing work and then you get a message, like, why are they messaging you at work?
Why does every episode go this way?
I feel like we've moved away from it. You haven't. And what we've done is completely just gone, oh, that'd be cool, and then just gone off on one.
Every time we have a guest, there's a section of the episode where
your game is actually more feasible than our spin on it.
There's always a moment where the guest says, like, well, we had this idea, and then you guys spoke for about 30 minutes, and now we haven't got a game anymore.
I'm sorry.
That always happens.
I prefer where we are now, but I prefer what we've come to, like what we've
being diplomatic.
Like come up with collectively. I was going to say, I like what we've come up with collectively, but unfortunately it seems to have lost the narrative is the only thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, the shared DNA between Peter and my's approach is that the game fucks with you. And so this is just a natural evolution of, well, how much can it fuck with you? If it was on all the time and you couldn't turn it off.
I really love the idea of it just being like a persistent thing where you're getting these, like, in my head at least, if you're getting these messages from a fake contact that is someone you're working with who will send you information where you're like, okay, I need you to go onto this website and or research this for me and then get back to me when you have the information. And so you're getting messages from this person, but then also like this messaging system is also being used by other people to try and fuck with you.
I mean, to kind of tie the lore together, it could be that you were out taking your dog for a walk and then you see the weird alien shit. And that's what's then prompted you to go and open this piece of software in the first place and start trying to find out, I'm pretty sure I saw something. They've taken my dog for fuck's sake. And then you're trying to solve this. That's the precursor to you spending time.
For a second, I thought you meant in real life. Like,
oh, we have to stage this for every single person that buys the game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We hand them a dog and say, take it for a walk, and then have someone kidnap it. Yeah. And But no, so that's the precursor to getting into the game. And then you just have maybe, you do have that 30 minutes of whatever of intense gameplay, and then it stops. And that's when you're basically extending the life of the game for, let's say, years, because I don't have a X number of time, into the future. So you hit a point where you have to stop because they discover you, and that's when they start messing with you. I think there's something there. I think it could be cool.
Well, mine was just going to say, like, I really like the idea of what you said in terms of, like, you're doing the work for someone, and that's what starts getting you in trouble, right? And then, but also you're replying back to them with maybe, obviously you can, with the game, if you type something in, we can reference it against the actual answer. So if you type in the right thing, then you're like, oh, thank you, that helped. Or if not, you'd be like, oh, keep looking, that didn't really help. And then you can gamify it a lot quicker, and then we can have a nice back and forth, and then you're back in control of how the game progresses. And then from that, you can hit those key points to be like, oh, you know, you've helped me out a few times. I think they're onto us. And then, okay. And then you start seeing stuff come through and be like, stop doing this. Like, and to get back to one more Peter's original idea, that's how I would do it, where you are the man in the chair for someone else. And as you research, that there will be like fake websites that'll be like, okay, you need to find a date and a location from a few news articles that could be around this time. So you get given a fake website with some news articles, read through them, pick out the date and the place, paste it back to them. When you get that right, then you're like, okay, now you can progress on. So then makes it a structured game rather than a psychological lifestyle choice that you've had to make. I think, does that sort of lean towards more of what you're after, Peter? I know I feel bad for Ben because we've literally taken the first person dog experience and just sort of gone,
fuck that dog,
away from it.
There is still a dog and it does go missing.
There needs to be a dog in it. We need to get the dog.
Well, that
in
could
there.
Be one of the articles, dog missing. And then you're like, find out what happened to this man's dog. But yeah, does that sort of go back to what you were originally trying to pitch?
Yes, definitely. Like, I think the idea of having a contact, that probably does give you this drive forward for the story. And it, yeah, as you say, like, gamifies it. So if you put in the right, you know, a passcode that you found or a news article or something, then yeah, that's like a success or failure state. So yeah, I think, provided there would still be ways that you could, you know, make it look like someone else as well is like interested in you and has perhaps got remote access to your PC. And we've talked about ways that you could do that. Then yeah, that kind of ticks a lot of the boxes of the initial pitch, I think.
I love that idea, the remote access.
We've potentially made one of the most unstreamable games, unless we go with what Chris has been suggesting, because it's like, if it mostly takes place in the background.
What if it was like your own kind of almost your own individual ARG, your own alternate reality game that you have? So you have like Chris, you were saying, you have the contact that you're talking to and these fake websites that you're investigating and stuff. But then also maybe you have to make some phone calls or send emails. So you have to create a fake email address and send emails to certain things and you get bounced back. And then while they're investigating all this stuff, the audience can follow the streamer on, like if they have to make a phone call or something to an automated, you know, message or whatever, the audience can follow the streamer along the whole thing, right?
I was going to say something a bit controversial, considering the two guests and the companies that we are associated with. I was
going to say,
fuck the streamers. Have an experience that just let people have this sort of the thing. Like, people don't have to stream. If people want to stream it, then they can have it ruined for them because someone's going to do that in the chat. Someone's going to already have played
streaming it. Then we have an army of Twitch bots that go into their chat as well.
There you go. And throw just red herrings everywhere.
And donations.
And
I guess the problem with what Alex was saying, where, you know, you're saying, well, why can't you just stream if you're showing like your browser or whatever and like you're getting pop-ups, is that if it is this idea where you don't know when it's going to happen, it might be at like, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or it might be 10 o'clock in the morning that you get your next message.
Right, yeah, it becomes like a Big Brother maybe experience. Like, you have to stream.
I guess so, yeah. But on the other hand, maybe you could have like a streamer mode Like when you first install it, you just say whether or not you want it in like streamer mode. And if you have it in streamer mode, it's kind of instant. Like it says, oh, go to this website, right, find this code,
condensed
and you do
version.
It. And you say, here's the code. And they say, yeah, that was it. And now I need to do this. So maybe there's like, if we did want to maybe not say fuck the streamers, although I'm inclined to agree. But, you know, if we wanted to appeal to streamers as well, then that's probably an option, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like more instant.
I mean, you could also just have a Twitch integration where like chat chooses the next like clue or the next thing that you receive. Obviously, they wouldn't be able to see that. You'd have to sort of try and not, like, you could like get the game to run a poll, because that's all just commandable. You can easily do that with Twitch integration stuff. So you could do that, and then you're like, okay, Twitch chat get to decide on, do we send them the newspaper clipping article? Do we send them the email with the coordinates hidden in it? And then you'd be like, okay, I'm going to send them that. And so Twitch chat kind of becomes your contact, and you're solving something for them. but you're also learning the story together, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe
Tom, we've gone through quite a lot of different topics in this. What currently?
Yeah.
What currently do you think the game is?
It is a malware that you willingly install and buy from Steam that upon launch asks you for heaps and heaps of personal data, your email, your phone. Access to your
address.
Smart devices. First pet's name. Hopefully it's a dog. And the game says, we got your dog. And it's a software that runs on your PC, hopefully all the time. You don't know where it is. You can't remember what it's called.
Like the desktop
anymore.
Wallpaper app. It just sits there.
Yep, it's in your task manager, and every now and then, it messages you and says, "We got another puzzle for you."
I've got another dog.
got someone else's dog. You get a contact. Someone messages you and says, "Someone's going around stealing everyone's dogs. Have they got yours?" Oh my god! Well, we got to get to work.
God is dog backwards. It's all linked.
And you root around your personal PC. Looking for, I guess, notepad documents that it's just left strewn across your entire PC, reading all of the clues and opening up articles and trying to find the answers to all these puzzles. And then 10 days later, boop, boop, puzzle number two, bitch. You ready to solve this one? And I think the end of the game, like with the Curiosity Cube, had a disappointing ending. I think 10 years later, once you do get to the end, it's when the game finally reveals where the uninstall file is.
Or for this game or for Goddess? Like which?
<Both. laughs> but yeah, throughout the entire experience, whether it's 10 years or 10
minutes
in streamer mode, the fuck you streamer mode, it is constantly haunting you in various different ways, changing the resolution of your computer, opens your disk tray. It calls you up. You've installed an app, and every now and then you'll get a message saying like, "Oh, I saw you went to Morrison's the other day. How'd you find that?
Did you enjoy that
great
pizza?
Right? What'd you buy?"
That's what Google does already.
Yeah, mine does that. It's like, did you enjoy your trip tomorrow? I'm like, I didn't go there. And it's like, thank you for telling us.
Yeah, but this one, no.
Now we know.
I was thinking maybe there, because you were saying that when it was a big community game, which we've moved away from, maybe if you install the app on your phone, maybe there could be personalized, like the game just randomly selects a location, I don't know, a mile away or whatever, and just says, right, there's something here on the map where you are. You need to go do that. And that's a way you can solve a puzzle. Maybe the game says you need to get away from your computer and your house for 10 minutes and it tracks you on the map and is like, and that's a way you can solve it. And you're like, why do I have to leave? But I got to, because otherwise I'm going to lose the game that I've spent 5 years playing. So it forces you out of your home.
Wow.
for a week.
What if you're you cannot download this game if you're 8 or something? Like, sorry, mom, just going out before I die in the game. I'll be a mile away for a bit. Hopefully I don't get murdered.
The man's sending me messages.
A man's turned my webcam on and opened my disc tray.
Maybe this should be an age rating for a psychological thriller.
I have no idea who would Biggie buy 3. This game or how we'd get past everyone saying, like, this is just ripping your data. There's no way that people will look at this and say, yeah, this is a reputable company that is definitely not selling our data. Even if we don't, we are asking for so much for them to just enjoy this game.
We're not
or
asking
be
for
terrorized
anything.
By it. I mean, I said they're taking their phone number.
Yeah,
and
you're the one. This is your own thing you've added. We're just solving a mystery through.
I want to use
being a man
it
in
for
the
game entertainment purposes and game entertainment purposes only.
Yes.
Although it's not really a game and it's not all that entertaining. It's just horrifying.
But that's slow burn of anxiety, though. I love the idea of that. Like for me, if I was playing a game where. I'm like Chris was explaining, where I'm getting messages from someone to research something, like the secret behind Area 57, whatever it is. We need to find out what's going on. Where is it? How do we get in there? What's inside? That's the story. And then I'm getting messages from this person to be like, okay, research this. We need to find out the more information about the top scientist of the research facility or whatever. These are some newspaper articles you need to scan. Have a look, get back to me with the data. You do that. And the further you go along this, eventually you'll get some other kind of message from someone else and you don't know who that person is. Or maybe you'll get a message from who you think is the person that you were talking to. You think it's your friend, but it's not. It's someone else. But you know, like, and as that progressed, like it starts spilling over into the real world, as in like into your actual desktop or computer more and more as you go on.
Before we wrap it up,
yeah,
what happens if you ignore it?
Nothing.
I think it's just a video game. The dog dies, maybe.
The dog dies.
It just sends you pictures of dead dogs until you do something about it.
Jesus Christ.
I guess nothing.
For legal reasons, nothing.
Right. Okay.
Okay, just wonder if it got more persistent or aggressive.
I guess, well, no, because they want you to not do anything,
maybe
right?
For like
they
a
want
week.
You to not investigate. So it wouldn't do anything.
Unless it's just, I mean, your contact you. Might get more
yeah,
aggressive.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I really need to.
That's the flip
to,
side.
Yeah.
Okay, so
find my dog.
That kind of single player over a long amount of time, maybe not 10 years, but maybe if it's like a month long or something, or even a week, does that sound appealing? Or like Peter or Ben, what do you guys think of that?
I would read a Kotaku article about people who've played this game and have and all the amazing discoveries and how clever it is, but I personally would never I wouldn't go anywhere near it myself.
That's partly that you're not a huge horror fan though, right?
Well, like yeah, that. But equally the spooky game about the dog running through the woods, I thought that's not something I'm going to play.
True.
But it's just something that would unsettle people. Very reactionary content designed as such. That would be more up my alley in terms of, you know, I'd watch someone play through that and get spooked and, you know, completely overreact for entertainment purposes. But in terms of a sort of more slow burn game like that, I'm all on board with fucking with the players. Like that was we sort of worked backwards from how many ways can we break the fourth wall and really upset people and then invented this UFO scenario around it. But for me personally, it's not something that I would personally be interested in playing, but it definitely sounds interesting.
It's too anxiety inducing. Yeah. But Peter, what is it? I mean, I know this is probably closer to your idea initially.
Mm.
Close enough for you to want to play it?
Well, in a way, it's like it's different enough that I'm kind of more intrigued by it. I think like we've taken what we started with and developed it into something more interesting. I think like it, you know, at first it was just. It was just a browser, like a fake browser, and you're on like thedarkweb.com and, you know, you find some pictures, it sends some messages, maybe a couple of hours of gameplay spread over a few days. But, you know, this idea where you could just be sitting at work or, you know, doing whatever, like watching Netflix on your PC and you just get a message halfway through. I think that's really interesting, and that's something I've not even considered, that, you know, it could just be running constantly. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I think it's great.
You're not going to believe this. www.thedarkweb.com. That worked. I mean, yeah.
He's still on it.
Shit.
He's got the game for free.
Oh, God. Tom, are you excited by this?
Yeah, I mean, Area 57, it's malware. I like it.
That's the title. We haven't come up with the title yet.
I mean,
that's going to be it.
Lifeline, which we mentioned very near the start of the podcast, and by that I mean start of the podcast many episodes ago, not an hour ago, has a similar thing where, it takes place over a couple of days where you get these messages that come through from this survivor on a distant planet. So that has done something similar, not nearly as intrusive. That is just notifications on your phone. If you go into this with zero information, like if someone recommends this game to you and is like, you won't believe this, it opened my disk drive, or it did this thing, it did that thing, then all the horrors or all the spooky moments are spoiled for you. Mm. I think it's the kind of game that it's on Game Pass. You can just download it with zero information about it and just say, yeah, this looks like a okay game, I guess. And then shit starts happening.
Mm. The less you know, the better.
The monitor starts dimming and you're like, I'm sure it was brighter in this room earlier. Just really minor things just to unsettle you, but not necessarily jump scare you. I like that. I think it would definitely have a load of people that have like an hour of playtime and have immediately refunded it because they don't know what's happening. For the people who have been there for a week, they've started to see the weird shit, like the scary shit. They're in. And that's where it could get really cool.
I totally agree. I mean, Metal Gear Solid is one of my favorite games. And I very much remember the visceral moment of putting the controller down and seeing it moving. So the idea that we can have a modern day version of that, where you subvert this idea of what a game is and start getting, you know, I really love the idea that you will get emailed. You have to put an email address in, you will get emailed, and it will be like from the fake company trying to like mess with you. And just this idea that you might get a piece of junk mail and think, oh, it's nothing, but it's the game trying to like get you. I'm really into that. I think it would be really cool.
Imagine if you delete one of the emails and then like a week later, you're just like, oh fuck, you're right. I do remember seeing something about that. I thought it was just spam. And you go through your bin, it's like, oh no, it's permanently deleted. I guess I'm going to get pictures of dead dogs.
Or what if you get like a phishing email through and you click on the link because you think it's for the Area 57 game? You're like, oh yeah. Here's my transcript. I'm going to look it up, see what's on there.
So I think there's a lot of fun. I think it would be all in good spirit. I think you would know that it would just be a little bit like, oh, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? It's all, oh, it's spooky. But yeah, I love it. I want it.
Yeah. But is it real?
Chris, what do you think? Do you like this idea as it is?
Yeah, I think for the quick experience, the guy in the chair asking me for like, oh, can you find this date and location in these news clippings? And you reply back, do that. I think you could do, that could be a few hours and you're done.
Yeah.
A really nice, simple game. If you want to completely fuck with people, you can spread out. And it's that unnerving that makes it interesting and different. Because obviously with games, as I said earlier, when you're playing something, it's always on your mind that that thing is going to come back. And you sat down to play that game. So that's what you're thinking about. But with this, it's not like a session activity. It's an always activity. And you will just have other things to do and you forget. And then you hear the boop, and then you're back. But I think I do really like the idea of a short, like few hour investigative, you back and forth between two people. And then over time, other things happen on your computer and you're like, you know, you're getting like, stop doing this. Stop where you are, like, we're coming for you. And like those guys, even though you know nothing's going to happen, but it's still that you're...
Or is it?
The character you're playing, whether it's you or not, something could happen. There are consequences if you carry on doing this thing. And I do think that is a really nice puzzle. It could be like, you could get a newspaper clipping and you've got some numbers and you're like, oh, how do these correlate? And then you realize that those numbers are actually the words in the clipping and they make a sentence. But you don't get any clues with that. So then you reply with that sentence and he's like, oh, you've cracked it. And then, you know, you instantly get a new thing back. Like a day has passed and you instantly get a reply. Like, okay, I searched for this.
You think nothing's going to happen, but I mean, the person that recommended the game to you, you haven't heard from him in a while.
Lost his talk.
The only thing I'll say is, there's just a twist, right? The twist is that the guy that you've been helping is the dog. Damn it! No, it's the person that's been chasing after you as well. So it all comes back around. I don't know. Shut up, Chris. Goddamn dog. God. Damn.
Sorry, it wasn't the dog all along.
I love. And then right at the end, it takes control of your cursor. It navigates to Steam and it rates the game positive.
Positive, yeah. Buys all the DLC.
Overwhelmingly positive. Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I think we've got a very successful game just by design. Naturally, if it rates itself, I love the idea of like they just tapping into that old school ARG feeling of like just the feeling of okay, like I know it's not real, but what if it is? Like just that feel, that tiny little doubt in the back of your head, like that kind of like that persistent little bit of anxiety just sitting in the back, just like while you're playing it. I don't know. I love that.
That's what everyone needs right now is constant anxiety about going outside. Perfect.
Everything is going back to normal. People's mental health. That's free game now.
It can take a hit. We can definitely do that.
If you have any ideas, you listening. Now, on your mobile device, probably. If you have any ideas how to make this game better, or what the story might be, because we didn't really go into that much, I'm sorry. I feel like we've left a huge crater in the middle of this game that needs to be filled with a story.
Well, that's the secret,
story.
Isn't it? That's the mystery.
Yeah. You can spoilers. Tell us what your thoughts are. Where can they tell us, Tom?
They can tell us that the Twitter name has actually changed. Despite us mentioning it in every single episode so far, this is a really interesting choice. It's now at Pitch Please Pod without any vowels. Yeah.
Vowels.
is the Twitter name for some reason, even though we've had like 50 episodes where we said it was something different.
But if you
search
for Pitch Please on Twitter, we're there, right? We're the top ones, I think, probably.
Yeah. And you can find Ben and Peter at Team Triple Jump.
That's it.
If I remember correctly, on Twitter and just,
everywhere.
Do you just Triple Jump on YouTube?
Everywhere is Team Triple Jump.
There you go.
So Twitch, YouTube, Twitter.
Amazing.
And I thoroughly recommend Main Menu as the series. It's fantastic.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much for joining us, Ben and Pierre. It was lovely to have you guys on. We've kind of been talking about having you on pretty much since we started doing this, so I don't know why it's taken so long.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're more than welcome. And if you have any more ideas in the future that you'd like to bring on,
be bastardized
to ignore and then take somewhere else entirely, you're more than welcome to join us again, until next time, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye.